Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Isn't that good? Well, that's some comforting scripture, isn't it? You know, that psalm really, it speaks more about our relationship to the shepherd than it does anything. And I think really when you look at that psalm, it's not so much about how we feel about the shepherd, but it's really more about how he feels about us, I guess we might say. His responsibility to, you know, a shepherd has a responsibility to the sheep. I mean, that's just facts. And a good shepherd will always take care of his sheep. And so, you know, really, we really need to just look up today and just thank God that he blesses us like he does. You know, one of the things that God warned Israel about in Deuteronomy chapter 6, a famous chapter really, our Sunday school lessons have been based on D6. That's what it means, Deuteronomy 6. But in verses 10 through 12, God says to the children of Israel, he said, when you get into the promised land, he says, you're going to move into cities that you did not build. You're going to find houses filled with all good things that you did not fill. You're going to have wells that you did not dig. You're going to have vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant. And then in verse 12, he says, beware lest you forget where all of these things came from. Let us not forget. Aren't you glad that the good shepherd provides for the sheep? Now, when you and I speak of the shepherd, we can personalize that and we can say Jesus. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And he said that he would give his life for the sheep. As a matter of fact, in John 10:10, he said, I have come as the good shepherd that they might have life and have it more abundantly. I'm glad the good shepherd just gives and gives and gives. There's three things. Surprise. There's three things that I see out of this chapter that I want to preach on today. And the first one is this. The shepherd provides all that we need. Now, here's what we need to understand. That when the Bible refers to us, his people, as sheep, and that's referred to over and over a number of times in the Word of God, we are his sheep. That is not necessarily a compliment. Amen? See, sheep aren't the smartest animals around. The fact of the matter is, sheep, Philip Keller wrote, he was a sheep rancher, and he wrote a book about a shepherd looks at Psalm 23. He said, sheep require more attention than any other livestock there is. He says they cannot take care of themselves. He said that a sheep, he said they will stay in one spot and eat the grass until it is gone, and literally eat the roots until it would grow no more. And they would basically stand there and starve to death unless they were made to move. They really don't even know how to do that. He says sheep are nearsighted and are very stubborn, and they're very easily frightened. He said an entire herd of sheep can be stampeded by a rabbit. They have no means of self-defense. The only course they have is two things, run or depend on the shepherd. I'm dependent on the shepherd, aren't you? Sheep have absolutely no homing instincts whatsoever. You know, you've seen the Disney movie, you know, where the dog, the family somehow moves off and leaves the dog and they move 2,000 miles away. And near the end of the movie, the dog comes running up the street and he found his way home. You know, sheep could never do that. They have absolutely no homing instinct whatsoever. They get lost. They'll just wander and wander. They won't have a clue where they're at. Sheep really have no means whatsoever of taking care of themselves. And yet, David writing, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. And the first line is this, I shall not want. Are any of us, think about this now, are any of us in want? We're not, are we? Remember last week, one of the scriptures we read in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 8, Paul said to Timothy, if you have food and raiment therewith, if you have that much, you can be content. And certainly, I think we could all look at our lives and say, we can be content with that. Amen? Listen, if we really look at our lives, God has blessed us with material things and the physical needs in such a wonderful way. As a matter of fact, in this country, people are so blessed. You know what most people are looking for right after the holidays? The diets, right? That's big business because we're so blessed that so many just overindulge. They got to go on a diet when all the holidays are off. That's how blessed we are. But not only does he meet our physical needs, but, you know, he meets all of our spiritual needs. We shall not want. There's not one of us today that can really say that we're in want. James in 1:17 says, every good and every perfect gift comes down from God out of heaven. We are so blessed, as a matter of fact, we, like the shepherd that wrote this, David, could say, our cup is running over. Amen? Hey, every one of us can say we're so blessed. Listen, he's blessed us with salvation. He's blessed us with the peace of God that passes all understanding. He has supplied us with joy, the Bible says, that is unspeakable and full of glory. He has given us a hope that doesn't depend on what is happening around us, but a hope that is assured that we have a place to go when this life is over. Do you have that today? Can you say today that the Lord is my shepherd? Do you know Christ as your shepherd today? And if you can, know this, that the shepherd provides all of your needs today. Everything that comes to us comes because God provides it. Trust in him today, and I guarantee you that God will not let you down. Amen. Amen. Has he ever let you down? He's never let me down, and he will not let you down today either. Second thing, notice this. He says he makes me to lie down in green pastures. You know, for a sheep to lie down, and again, I'm referring some to this Philip Keller book I read some time ago, but Philip Keller says, and he was a shepherd, he says four conditions need to be met for a sheep to lie down. Number one, they must be full. A hungry sheep will never lay down. I kind of thought about our children. You know, when your children are hungry, they don't want to stop, do they? They make trip after trip back to the refrigerator getting food, right? But you know what? I'm glad, listen, that God fills us with all the good things. And to lie down illustrates to us a way of life, a condition that is met in our lives, that we can have peace with God. Must be full. Second, and I'm going to elaborate on this in just a minute, must be unafraid. You see, as I said, the sheep has no way of self-defense. The only thing a sheep can do is run. And so, listen, if there's fear, a sheep is on guard and cannot lay down. Third thing is, a sheep must be content. And you know, it says in this Psalm that he anoints my head with oil. You know what a shepherd, you know what that meant to the sheep? The shepherd, you know, he would see the condition of the sheep, and many times sheep would be bothered by flies and larvae, and they would be swarming around the sheep's head and getting in their ears. Some of you that have been raised on a farm, you've seen that around cattle and other animals, I'm sure. Well, the shepherd would see that, and a need had to be met, and so he would concoct this out of some tar and some herbs and spices and all this, and he would take this and he would anoint the sheep's head and put it in their ears and all around their nose. And what that would do is that would keep all of the pests away, and the sheep would not be bothered by these pests. Listen, to you and I that are Christians today, the Bible tells us each and every one of us, when we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit. And I want to tell you, when you have the Holy Spirit living in you, listen, he enables you to be an overcomer. Amen? The Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And the pest of this world, those things that would drag us down and bother us and just kind of, you know, draw our attention away, we can have victory over these things because you and I have been anointed spiritually with the oil of the Holy Spirit. We can be content, as I preached last Sunday, in the Lord Jesus Christ. The fourth thing that needs to happen, this is important too, Philip Keller says there must be harmony in the flock. That is, there can't be some kind of power struggle going on among the sheep and some couple sheep butting all the other sheep and running into them and kicking them and trying to, you know, vie for power and disturbing the harmony of the flock. And certainly, listen, we need to have harmony in the flock. Amen? And if there's not harmony in the flock, then measures need to be taken in your life to get harmony in the flock. So there must be, those conditions need to be met. And then we can lie down in green pastures. That is, we can have the peace to lie down like that. The third thing is this: he leads me beside still waters. Now, sheep are not only poor drinkers, that is, their nose and their mouth are so close together that they can't drink rough waters, but they're very poor swimmers. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want to put a big old wool coat on and try and swim across the river, would you? It'd weigh you down. Well, sheep couldn't do that either, and the shepherd knows that. And so anytime the shepherd would have the sheep drink, he would make sure it was still waters, and he would make sure that the waters were not over their heads so that they could walk across. The shepherd was always looking out for the sheep when it come to dangerous situations. Listen to this. Aren't you glad that when the waters of temptation come in your and our lives, listen, I'm glad that the shepherd makes a way of escape, aren't you? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 tells us that with every temptation, God, our shepherd, will make a way of escape. When the waters of temptation come, listen, you do not have to fail. You do not have to give in. You can have victory. Listen, remember what we've been preaching in Romans. In Romans chapter 6, the Bible explicitly tells us this, that sin does not have dominion over you anymore, that we as believers can have victory over sin. If you'll take the escape that God gives you, that song I was thinking as I was singing that song, my foot's on the rock and my mind's made up. When the devil comes a knocking, don't answer the door. Amen? That'd just be an answer to a lot of folks' problems. Just don't answer the door. Run. Look the other way. God makes a way of escape. But not only that, when the waters of adversity come, and they will come, trouble will come, sickness will come, problems will come in your life. But I'm glad when the waters of adversity come, when there's trouble in your life, aren't you glad that as the shepherd, we've got somebody that can help us through those times when the waters of adversity come? Look in chapter 32, if you do have your Bible open, but I'm going to read it anyway, whether you have it or not. In 32, verse 6 and 7 of Psalms, he says, "For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto you in a time when you may be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh you. You are my hiding place. You will preserve me from trouble. You shall compass me about with songs of deliverance." You know something? I've quoted this. I've said it, and I've heard other preachers say it. But I was thinking about this the other day, and I did a search in the Bible. And as far as I can tell, the Bible does not tell us, and you've heard this, that he will not put more on you than you're able to bear. You know, the Bible does not say that. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, that he will not put more on you in the way of temptation than you are able to bear, but will with every temptation make a way of escape. But I looked and I searched and I got my concordance out and I did a look through the Bible, and I don't believe the Bible actually says that he will not put more on you than you're able to bear. Then I began to think about that statement and think about that in the context of the Word of God. And I thought about how I believe in the Word of God. The writer of this psalm would tell us there was a time in his life it was more than he can bear. Remember when David came back with all of his men to Ziklag, and they were out fighting, and they came back, and Ziklag, where all their family and their children were, Ziklag had been burned, the family had been taken, all their possessions had been taken. And it says this: when they got back, they saw the smoke of Ziklag rising. They come in and they find everything pillaged, everything burned, everything gone. And it says, David and the men sat down until they wept and they could weep no more. They were so overwhelmed by this situation that it overtook them, and they cried until they didn't have any more tears to cry. Can I ask you something? Has there ever been a time in your life when you felt like he put more on you than you could be able to bear? Listen, in my ministry, I can tell you that I have ministered to people and talked with people, I believe, that they have had more on them than they could bear. But listen now, here's what I want you to get. When it's more than we can bear, listen, the writer of this psalm, he wrote in another place in Psalm 46:1, that God is a very present help in the time of trouble. The writer of this psalm wrote in Psalm 62, when I am overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. The writer of this psalm would say, when I need help, he says, I look to the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help comes from you, O Lord. When there's more on us than we can bear, I'm glad we've got a good shepherd that'll pick us up, that'll be there for us. When the waves seem like they're over our head, our good shepherd is still in control and the waves are under his feet. Aren't you glad for that? He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. And the waters sometimes in this life get hard. They get high and the storms beat. But thank God the shepherd can calm the storm of your life. And I tell this to people a lot, and I believe it with all my heart, that when we come to the end of ourselves, when we can't go anymore, that's when God is his closest to us. You see, if he's a very present help in a time of need or a time of trouble, when that need and that trouble comes, and you just may feel forsaken, you may feel like you're alone, that's when God is carrying you. That's when he's got you in his arms and he's shielding you, and he's that high tower and he's that buckler and he's that pavilion. He's all of that when you need him the most. That's why David could say, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. You see, the shepherd provides all of our needs. Fourth condition under this first heading is this. He guides us in righteous path. That's what the shepherd here writing this psalm says. David writing this psalm, he was a shepherd himself, talking about the good shepherd. He says that he would lead him in verse 3, would lead him in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Sometimes down here, the paths that we trod aren't always easy. But when we allow God to lead us in this life, the paths that we will take will always be right paths. Amen? They'll always be, as a matter of fact, listen folks, there's only two paths in this life you can take. And Jesus said it like this. He said, broad is the way and wide is the gate that leads to destruction. And many there be that will go on that path. But he said, narrow is the gate and straight is the way that leads unto life everlasting. And few there'll be that find it. Listen, there's only two paths. Can I ask you today, which path are you on? Are you following God in a path of righteousness? You say, well, I feel unworthy. Join the club. We're all unworthy. Amen. I like the Sunday school lesson this morning. I was, but I am. Can you relate to that? I'm not what I was. Thank God I'm a Christian. Does that mean that we're perfect? No, that means we realize we're not, and we're leaning on Him to get us through. And that Holy Spirit that I was talking about a minute ago will empower us to have victory. He leads us in right paths. I'm so glad for that. All right, that's number one. The shepherd provides all of our needs. Boy, we can be thankful for that. Amen? But listen to this one. I really like this one. It just really spoke to my heart. The shepherd removes the fear of death. Amen? Listen to this. I wrote this down because I thought about this. You see, death is a scary foe. One that you and I cannot defeat on our own. The fear of death can be a source of anxiety and constant turmoil in people's lives. Have you ever met anybody like that? I've met people that can't enjoy living because they're so worried about dying. Some people, and I think it's a tool of the devil. I really do. I think the devil, if he realizes, you know, he's like a boxer. You know, I've said that before. And when a boxer, if he cuts you above your right eye, when he goes back to that corner, the trainer's going to go, you got him bleeding. Hit him in that eye. Hit him in that eye. So he's going to come out, go pow, pow, pow. Hit him in that right eye because it's bleeding. Right, Brother Don? Amen. That's what he's going to do. See, Listen, he's going to get you. And if that's a weakness in your life, that's what he's going to do. He's going to put the fear, just a cold fear in your life of death. But listen to me now. The shepherd, David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You know, our children, they get afraid in their room because they see shadows. Or our grandchildren, they'll see shadows. But listen, aren't you glad a shadow cannot bite you? Aren't you glad a shadow cannot hit you? A shadow cannot touch you? Because when we know Christ, I tell you today, the tomb is empty. And when you know the Good Shepherd, death is no more than a shadow. Believers have something on the other side. And they know that. And when a child of God faces death, yes, there may be fear of leaving their loved ones, but on the other side, they know there's something better. The fear of death is removed. Why? Because of an empty tomb. Because every year at Easter, thousands of people will make their way to the Holy Land so that they can gather around a tomb that has a stone that is rolled away. And they can look in to see that he is not there. He is not there. He has defeated death. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Jesus is the only one that met death head on and, bless God, came out victorious. And though you and I cannot beat this foe unless we know Jesus. And when we know Christ, we have what I talked about before. I shall not want for hope. I shall not want for assurance. I shall not want for what I know is on the other side. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. John wrote about it, and I believe it. Don't you? Amen. You must. That's because you're here today. There's a heaven. Amen. Conversely, there is also a hell. But David said, I walk through the valley. It's a dark place. But it's just a shadow because Christ has defeated death. I love this illustration that I read. Fourth grade class. They were sitting around. They were talking. And the teacher said, what do you want to be when you grow up? And they started going around the room. And the kids started sharing, you know, in their fourth grade mentality, what they wanted to be when they grew up. And it got to one of the little boys, and he said, I want to be a lion tamer. A lion tamer, huh? He said, yes. He said, I want to get me a whip and a chair, and I'm going to walk in that cage, and I'm going to hit that whip and put that chair up. And he said, them lions might roar, and them lions might look mean, but I'll go in there with that whip and that chair, and I'll tame those lions. And then he thought about it a moment, and he said, and I'll take my daddy with me. Church, death may growl, death may look mean, but I'll take my Father with me. Amen. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. And so you and I can say, listen, death is a valley. It is a shadow. And we do not have to fear because our Father is with us. That's two. Number three, he gives us protection from judgment. You believe that? David said writing this, he said, goodness, the last verse, the twins of goodness and mercy shall follow me. We might say it like this, grace and mercy shall follow us. Aren't you glad that God is full of grace? Aren't you glad? Now think about it. And if you was in a Sunday school lesson, the question was asked, have you ever had to be forgiven in your life? And you could put that on a personal level with another person, but listen, every one of us have to or have been forgiven by God. They write songs about it. I'm forgiven. Isn't that a blessed state to be in? Let me put this into context in closing. I want you to think about the worst thing that you can think of that you've ever done to someone else. The worst infraction you can come up with in your memory that you've ever done to someone else. For some, that might be, you know, pretty bad. For others, it might not be that bad. But then I want you to do this. I want you to think. Think about it now. Are you thinking? Go back in the recesses of your mind and find the worst thing that you've ever done to anybody that you know in your life. Now I want you to magnify that. Let's just pull an arbitrary number by 1,000. That's how much God has forgiven you for. You say, I'm not really a bad person. Listen, it's not about being a bad person. It's about being a saved person. And the Bible says this, that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's me, that's you, that's everybody. That means the Pope, that means anybody else. I mean from Billy Graham, everybody. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and every one of us need to be forgiven. But the writer of this psalm says, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And so I have this assurance and this hope that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You think that's not a promise you can hang your hat on? You think that's not an anchor for your soul? It may not be now, but I'll tell you one thing. It could come to a point where you got to hang your hat on that and go, I'm counting on that. We ought to do it now. Goodness and mercy shall follow me, because God is graceful. God is full of grace. God is full of mercy. He will forgive you for the worst thing you could possibly imagine 10 times over, 100 times over, 1,000,000 times over, if you only ask. Well, we've got so much to be thankful for, don't we? A relationship with the shepherd, and that's really what this is talking about. His responsibility to us. Let's get a song. Can you really claim John 10:10? Jesus said it like this. Let me quote the whole verse. He said, the thief comes, and he's talking about Satan, to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come, he says, that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I shall not want. My cup's running over. Why? Because the good shepherd offers to his sheep abundant life. You say, well, I have to wait and see. No, you don't have to wait and see. How many know right now you're going to heaven when you leave here? Well, if you couldn't raise your hand, you just didn't. I don't know. If you don't know you're going to heaven when you leave here, you can make that reservation now. How do I do that? Ask Christ to come into my life. Tell him, Lord, forgive me. I believe you died for me. I believe you rose again the third day. And I need forgiven because I've sinned against you. Would you come into my life? Would you save me? That's not a Free Will Baptist term or a Baptist term. That's a Bible term. Amen? When you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. Whoever. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for this time together, for the opportunity to worship you, for the Word of God that is so powerful. I'm glad that you, as the Good Shepherd, provide for your sheep. I'm glad we can know your voice and that you know us by name. You care for the sheep. You gave your life for the sheep. You're the door into the sheepfold. You lead us. You guide us. You provide for us. You've taken the fear of death. You've taken judgment for us at Calvary. You absorbed the wrath of God on sin when you took the beating and you took the nails. And when we put our trust in you, Lord, our judgment is forgiven, Lord. We don't have to be judged in light of our sin, but we can be judged in light of what you did at Calvary. Thank you for that, Lord Jesus. We love you, and all that you give to us, we thank you. And we just ask you to speak to our hearts now in this invitation, in Jesus' name. Amen.